Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I've been teaching a couple of lessons on faith overcoming impossibilities. Now, you wonder sometimes, you know, we don't teach on faith all the time, but there's times that we should. And teaching on faith, you know, just like a muscle, muscles need to be developed. And so does your faith. And, you know, sometimes the more I read 1 Corinthians 13, I read that at least two times a day. Once in the morning when I get up, once before I close my eyes, I read that 1 Corinthians 13. And it's interesting that the more you read Scripture, I know Pastor Clinton used to say this, he said, the Word of God is like a multifaceted diamond. And he said, when you look at it, every time you look at it, you will see revelation or insight in the Scripture based on what it is that you're thinking about or looking at. And, you know, when you look at 1 Corinthians 13, it was interesting teaching on a faith. And of course, we know in Galatians 5, 6, it says, faith, our faith worketh by love. But it's interesting, if you look at 1 Corinthians 13, and verse 2, it says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, not some, all mysteries, and all knowledge. And look at this. And though I have all faith, he didn't say some faith. He didn't even just say, oh, and though I have faith. He said he had all faith. Now, isn't that interesting? I think it's interesting. Because we know in Romans 12, it says we've received a measure of faith. So here, Paul is saying, though I have all faith, that means all manner of faith. He said, so that I could do what? Remove mountains and have not charity or love, I am nothing. So what that told me here is when you look at that, that means we're to develop our faith. If Paul said he could have all faith or all manner of faith, that means that our faith needs to be developed. It needs to be expanded, or it needs to be, expanded. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. In verse 3, bears that out in the Scripture. It says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because what? Your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity, this is what we got done here, and the charity or love of every one of you all toward each other does what? Aboundeth. That means it's growing. So that means our love ought to be developed and growing, and our faith ought to be growing. So that means we should always be working our faith. Now, it's interesting when we talk about faith, and this isn't the lesson, just on kind of on my heart to share this, but your spirit can be trained or developed. And just like our faith needs to be developed. But it's interesting when you look at Mark chapter 2, and it's also in Luke chapter 5, it talks about when the man with palsy was let down through the roof by four, and it said Jesus did what? He saw their faith. Well, I can't see your faith, can I? I can't see what's in your heart. I can't see what you believe, but I can see the results of what you believe. I can't see the wind, but I can see the results of the wind. So I can't see something. What did Jesus, when he said, I saw their faith, what was he seeing? He was seeing them let him down through the roof because they couldn't get in. And they were going to get something from Jesus. So faith without an action, this is James chapter 2. Faith without an action is dead. So we ought to always be, our faith ought to always be what? Seen. Visible. Because just believing it without an action is, what does the scripture say? It's dead. So we ought to be seeing your faith. Now, one way to see your faith is what you say. What you're saying about what you believe is one visible thing, or something I hear, not visible, but something I hear that you believe. And so we ought to always be expressing, saying what we believe and acting on it. Because faith, Smith Wigglesworth said this when he was alive back in the early 1800s, early 1900s, he said, faith is an act. Faith is an action. So we ought to always be acting our faith. If I say I believe, I like what Pastor Hagen says. He says that we live in a natural body. We live in this natural realm. So it's the natural and the spiritual coming together. So what I believe, faith is spiritual. But my action is what? Natural. So it's the natural and the spiritual coming together that releases the power of God. So my action, my faith causes me to act, and that causes the power of God to go into action for me, to work for me. So I ought to always be doing something with my faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I hope that helps. I mean, every time I read these little entries and things and I look and I feed, I know we do. We take time, take 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour a day. Feed on the Word of God. Look at it. Meditate upon it. You know, Brother Hagin said this. He said, I believe you can develop your spirit to know exactly what to do in every circumstance of life. Well, the scripture bears that out. Let's all go quickly. I want to get in my lesson here, but let's look at Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. And he's a good one to read on. Joshua said he could take the land. Traveling with them folks, Israelites, for 40 years, didn't affect him. Joshua 1:8. Wait till you get there. But it said, this book of the law shall not do what? Depart out of thy mouth, right? But thou shalt do what? Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do, this is what we're talking about, acting upon the word of God, according to all that is written therein, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. My margin says good success, it says have good success. It means to deal wisely. What does that mean? You're going to know exactly what to do in every circumstance of life. That means when you look and you have to make a choice, you'll know, yes or no. I should do it in the simplest of things. You'll know, nope, shouldn't do that, nope, or yes, we should. What to invest in, who to marry, what school to go to, what to buy, what not to buy, when to leave, when not to leave, what to do in life so that you will do what? Be prosperous and deal wisely. And how does that come about? This is our covenant right. It says to let not this book of the law depart out of your mouth, but do what? Meditate in it day and night, observe to do it, and then what does it say? And then it says, according to all that is written therein, then you're going to make your way prosperous. Not somebody special, not the pastor, not the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, not them. but it means you. Isn't that good news? To me, that's good news. That means I don't have to bump around in life. That means if I listen and obey, I'm going to come out on top every single time. I remember one time, you know, it helps me. You know what I mean? It helps me to say it, because how many know that, you know, we all haven't hit the mark all the time. Sometimes we miss it. But I remember, this is years ago, I'm talking 25, 28 years ago. And I remember the Lord spoke to me in a time of worship. He said to me, if you'll work the word, this is what he told me in my spirit, I heard it. He said, if you'll work the word in the area of finances, like you've worked the word in the area of healing, he said, you won't have room enough to contain it all. Well, I knew what it meant, because I wasn't working the word in the area of finances. What does that mean? I was bringing my tithe in, but I wasn't speaking over it. I wasn't speaking all the time that my seed was working, that I believe I receive abundance. I'm expecting a harvest on the seed that I sow. I wasn't doing that. I just brought it in. I believe God, you know, and I said, okay, I'm going to bring my tithe into the storehouse. But in the area of healing, I was confessing the word every day. I was speaking over my body. I was releasing words of faith. I wasn't doing that in the area of finances. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, if you'll do the same thing that you're doing with your words in the area of healing over here in finances, you won't have room enough to contain it all. So I started doing that. And I remember one day I'm home, I'm quiet, and I heard this. Now, I don't normally, there may be some of you that invest. You know, you may get the Wall Street Journal, you may invest in the stock market. Up to that point, I had been investing a little bit because I worked with a utility company. They had taken my money and put some in there. You know, you get shares, right? But to go and invest in stock, I just didn't do it. And I heard the Holy Ghost say to me, buy Apple stock. I said, buy Apple stock. It was foreign to me, but I knew his voice, and I didn't do it. I balked. You know what I mean? I just was like, well, I don't want to tell you, because it makes me take a deep breath every time I tell this story. The price of that stock at that time, it was under $40. Jesus. He was trying to get money to me. And I hedged. I didn't do it. And then all of a sudden, at that time, it started going up and up and up. And it went up over 200. And I'm sitting there going. And then it split. So all I'm trying to say is, don't do what I did. But sometimes, and I'll say this, you know, I say it because all of us have heard something and didn't obey. Every single one of us have heard something in our heart and we went, well, let me think about that. Every one of us have. And you can go back, because we're all, we miss it. You know, maybe you didn't miss it in one area, but maybe you wanted to give somebody a pound of your flesh and you knew you weren't supposed to, and you went, I'm going to tell them anyways. Well, you missed it. So whatever area, we've all missed it. Just happened to be I missed it in that particular area. So what am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is that no matter what conditions are going on in this life and around us and surrounding us, we can prosper and we can overcome. We can walk through every problem that we face in life. And if we do what? Let not the word depart out of our mouth. Stop saying I can't. Stop saying we're defeated. We're overcome. Everything's coming. You know how people are. They get in a roar. They say, "Well, this political party's in. We're doomed." Some other people say, "Well, this political party's in. We're doomed." Right? Pray. You are God's body in the earth. Believe that the words that you speak. Pray. If you don't think things are happening, pray. Stop. You know, I like what Mark Hankin said. He said, the spirit of faith will take the wine out of your voice. Which is true. You know, what do babies do? They whine, right? Now, if you see an adult whining, I'm going to send them to a therapist because they need therapy, right? But a child, a baby, when things are overwhelming, what do? They whine. They just whine. So we're not whiners, we're overcomers, right? And that means that we can count it all joy. We can laugh in the midst of problems. Didn't say it was happy time, but we can laugh because we are overcomers in Christ. Glory to God. Well, let's jump into the Word. I want to touch on something today, just for a brief period here. Father, I thank you for your Word. Thank you for being in our midst. We thank you that it is our hearts are full today, and we thank you that we can come into your presence, and we thank you that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we thank you that we've been born of your Spirit. We thank you that we have the greater one living on the inside of us. And we thank you, Father, for the Spirit of God here today to unfold and reveal the Word of God to us. And we thank you, Father, for this great country that we live in. We thank you, Father, for the President of this United States and the Vice President. We ask that you protect their families, protect them. We lift them up before you, Father. We ask that you strengthen their hearts, make their hearts sensitive to heaven. And Satan, we bind you from interfering with the laws that would help this country be more godly. And we command that this spirit of strife and resistance to work together, we command it to cease in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for wisdom and counsel, good counsel that is in the hearts of the leaders of this country. And we thank you for it. We believe, Father, for supernatural workings in our government in this country. And we decree that Jesus is Lord over this country in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, and wanted to look at something regarding faith overcoming impossibilities, but I wanted to look at joy this morning and joy laughing or faith laughing at impossibilities, but Romans 14 and verse 17. It says, for the kingdom of God, this is a familiar scripture, is not what? Meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and what? Joy in the Holy Ghost. And I like what the Amplified says. It says, after all, the kingdom of God is not a matter of getting the food and drink one likes, but instead it is righteousness, the state that makes a person acceptable to God, and a heart, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So we can have joy and not only have it, but the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5, 22, 23, is already in us, but it needs to be yielded to, and we need to stir it up or act upon it. That means what? That means to have some joy sometimes when it's not joyful. And we need to act upon that. Here's another Acts 13. Just going to look at a few scriptures here that we can look at the apostles here. Acts 13. And let's look at verse 50. And you can read the rest of the story here, back up starting in verse 44, but we'll look at verse 50 here. It says, "But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and did what? Raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and did what? Expelled them out of their coast. They kicked them out of the area, kicked them out. But they did what? Did they whine? No, they shook off the dust of their feet against them, came unto Iconium, and what? The disciples were what? Filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. So they didn't let that bother them. They were what? They had a purpose, they had an assignment, and they weren't going to let that persecution bother them. Sometimes we need to look at that and say, well, so what if the government tries to persecute the church? Are we going to whine? Or are we going to lift up our hands and pray for them and do what? Fill our hearts with joy in the Holy Ghost. Because we can take a look at, you know how they say, you can look at a glass half empty or half full. You can look at every kind of thing that happens. You can look at it from the negative or the positive. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So he may try some things. He's going to work through. Satan is the god of this world and the world system. So he's going to try to, and does, operate through people to come against the church. But we're going to have to do what? Have a mind and a heart that I believe and therefore I speak. I need to have a spirit of faith that I'm an overcomer. I'm not going to be defeated. I'm overcoming. Sometimes that resistance is going to stick and try to just make it look like nothing's changing. But the word is working. It's working. Hallelujah. Proverbs 17 in verse 22, familiar scripture. It says, a merry heart does what? It doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. I like some of these. I like the Passion Translation. It says, a joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both body and soul. But the one whose heart is crushed, see, this is why the devil tries to crush our hearts, struggles with sickness and depression. That's what a merry heart does what? Does good like a medicine. But a broken spirit, this is what the King James says, drieth the bones. It can bring other kinds of, and we know just from the natural. You hear doctors today, those that have a, you know, they've proven this. People that go in for operations and have things, if they have the right mental frame, if they have their hearts are right, they said most times they're going to come out of that operation doing well. But those that go in with a negative attitude and they're downcast, he said a lot of times they have a problems after that. So things, Luke 18, 27, things which are what? Impossible for man are possible for God. I like this in the New Living. It says, what is impossible for people is possible with God. Now, I want to take a look. I've been looking at this scripture, James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verses 2 through 4. And looking at joy and this here. You know, it's interesting that persecution If you look at the country of Iran, look at the immense persecution that has gone on in that country. And it is one of the most, it is one of the fastest, I mean, other than China, but Iran is one of the fastest growing Christian nations in the world. What caused that? Persecution. So you can see here that in this scripture, James chapter 1 and verses 2 through 4, it says, "My brethren, do what? Count it all joy." Count it all joy when you do what? Fall into divers temptations. Now that phrase, fall into, it means to be encompassed about. It means to be surrounded by something. You're encompassed about with what? Divers or various temptations. That word temptations means adversity. So when you're surrounded, you're encompassed with adversity, what does it say we're supposed to do? Count it all joy. That sure doesn't sound like a good time to count joy, does it? It means, you know, that's the instruction here. Count it all joy when you're walking through some stuff and you're encompassed and surrounded by some things. That means you're going to have to make a decision to not do what? Wine. Because usually our flesh, you know how we do. Here we go again. What the heck is going on? You know, if you surround yourself and you listen to the news and you keep feeding yourself with that, then your mind and your heart can be full of that. And you can get discouraged. But this is saying here that when all these various things surround us and they begin to put some pressure, we're to do what? Count it all joy. That means we're to begin to count it, means to consider, really is what that means. Consider it an opportunity for some joy, for some laughter at that point. And then what does it say? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith does what? It works something. It works patience. Most translations say endurance. And you know, this goes on and it says, but do what? Let patience or endurance have her perfect work, that you may be what? Perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Glory to God. Now, last time I was up here, I started sharing, I heard the Holy Ghost say to me, I want you to look up the word perfect. Now, most of us say, I can't be that. I can't be perfect. You know, nobody's perfect. That's not what that means. Perfect in the Greek, that the way it's written in the Greek, means to come to maturity, to come to completion. Well, that's a whole lot different. That means that's a little different. So what this is saying here is, but let patience come to maturity. Let it grow. Let faith work patience so that what? It'll have its perfect work so that you may be perfect, so that you may come to maturity, so that what? You be entire, wanting nothing. Wow, that's a little different. So you can see in society today, and even in Christian circles, maybe you, I don't know. But you know, when you get frustrated, what do? I've had enough of this. And you don't let faith work your endurance. And that's what we see today in society. People get tired of working, I ain't getting what I want. Boom, off they go. They leave. They don't endure anything. They don't want to endure anything. They don't want to endure any hardship, any problems. They're like, what? Why do we see the divorce rate that we have? People don't want to endure anything. They just want to feel good. But God is saying here that when we're surrounded and we've got stuff going on, we're to do what? Keep a cheerful heart. Stir up the joy of the Lord in you stir up love, stir up joy, and let faith work your endurance. And that word endurance actually conveys the idea, it says, conveys the idea of steadfast, consistent, unwavering, unflinching. That means what it's saying here is, it's an attitude that declares, I don't care how heavy the load gets or how much pressure I'm under, I'm not budging one inch. What does that mean? I believe God. If God said you'll prosper, then I'm not budging. We're going to get what God promised. And I'm not giving up, backing down. I believe God. And I think this is where, you know, it's not comfortable. How many like to endure losing weight? Right? Nobody. How many like enduring exercising? Nobody. But we sure like the results, don't we? So in order to get something so that, what does it say? So that you are perfect. Now we're talking spiritual now. Perfect, entire, wanting nothing. You're going to have to endure some stuff. You're going to have to let faith work your endurance. And that's just not comfortable. Your soul wants to kind of check out. But what is Romans 12:2? What does it say? Be not what? Conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. So this is back to what? What we were reading in Joshua 1:8. Let not this book of the law depart out of thy mouth, but meditate in it day and night. And what ends up happening, and you observe to do it, it begins to transform your thinking so you'll know what to do and what not to do. You'll prosper and be a success. So what does it say in Romans 12? It says, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is what? That good, perfect will of God. What is the good and perfect will of God? So we can know what the will of God is, what his perfect will is, but we're going to have to get our souls transformed, and that's where we're talking about staying in the Word of God, observing, obeying it. I'll give you another scripture. Here's one here. You know, we always say, well, we can't walk like Jesus walked. Well, I beg to differ because the scripture in 1 John, go over to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5 and 6. This will always get you to sit down and you know, look at that for a while because if you hadn't looked at it, you look at this. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5 and 6. It says, but whoso does what? Keepeth his word. In him verily is what? The love of God perfected. That means it's brought to full age or maturity. So as you obey the word of God, there's some things that are being developed and perfected in you. It didn't say you felt like walking in love, but as you obey the word of God, there's things that are being what? Developed in you, perfected in you. And that does what? So it's going to work something. It's going to work your endurance. You're going to have to endure loving people that you don't want to love. That's just what it is. But what happens is, it says here, as you obey and keep his word, in him is the love of God perfected, and hereby know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. So that means we're to walk like Jesus walked. So when people say, well, I can't walk like Jesus walked, I'm sorry, but the scripture says that we're supposed to. And he didn't leave us here helpless. He gave us his word, which has the power of God in it, to help us walk in a character like Jesus' character. So we can do it. And say it was easy, but it's doable. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I can walk like he walked. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we see here from James, let me read this in the New Living. If you have that, you can follow along in James 1, verses 2 and 4, the New Living Translation. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Oh boy. It didn't say count it all joy. It says consider it an opportunity for great joy. "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." Wow. That's pretty good. That's pretty good, isn't it? Needing nothing. Wow. Listen to some of these other translations. These are different renderings of this. This is the Berkeley translation. It says, "Consider it maximum joy." I like that. Consider it maximum joy. This is the Wuest translation, W-U-E-S-T. "Be constantly rejoicing." That means having a merry heart. It says, "Be constantly rejoicing. Consider it a matter for unadulterated joy." Oh, I like that. So that means when something, you know, there's people here, I see Donna here. Donna works in the nursing field. When you say something's adulterated, that means something's been mixed with it. It's adulterated. So we're not to mix anything with that joy. We're not to mix any sorrow with it. It's maximum joy. It's unadulterated. Wow. I like that. And the New International Version says, "Consider it pure joy." Well, that's unadulterated. Something's pure, it's unadulterated. So that means when I'm faced with all kinds of pressure, that I'm to do what? Consider it an opportunity for great joy. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that's in me. Now, I want to look at this in 1 Peter. We're in 1 John. Back up to 1 Peter. And I want to look at this. If you have a King James, follow it along, but I'm going to read it also in the Amplified translation. But 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 through 8. And of course, we're familiar with verse 7, "The trial of your faith, much more precious than gold that perisheth." But starting in verse 3, it says in the King James, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope." How? "By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." I like this. "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled." That's what the resurrection bought us. "And that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Verse 5, who are kept. You know, that word kept, if you look it up, that means I'm protected. That's what that word kept means. I'm protected by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Look at this. Wherein, because of that, wherein we greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, you are in what? Heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found how? Unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, who having not seen, ye love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you do what? You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So here he's saying, look, even you might be going through some time of heaviness, but we are what? Garrisoned about. Listen to the Amplified. It says, praised, honored, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. By his boundless mercy, we have been born again to an ever-living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Born anew into an inheritance which is beyond the reach of change and decay, imperishable, unsullied, unfading, and reserved in heaven for you. Now listen to verse 5. You know, in King James it says we're kept by the power of God through faith. But I like this. It says, who are being guarded. Oh, I like the way this Amplified puts this. Who are being guarded, garrisoned by God's power through your faith till you fully inherit that salvation that is ready to be revealed to you or for you in the last time. You should be exceedingly glad on this account. That's why we can have joy. I'm being garrisoned about by his power. I'm being garrisoned about and protected and kept by the power of God. And this word, you know, when you read it in the King James, when it says we are kept by the power of God, that word power is dunamis. It's the miracle-working power of God. I'm being kept by the power of God. That's what we have to keep in our thinking, in our mind, in our words, that as we go through life, even we may experience things. We may experience losses in our life. But I'm protected. We may have lost a loved one. We may have had a death in the family. But I'm protected. And because of that, I may go through a season of heaviness. But this says here that I can still rejoice, knowing that God is protecting me. He's garrisoning about my life with his angels, with his power, and I can rejoice. And this is what it goes on to say in the Amplified. It says in verse 6, you should be exceedingly glad on this account, though now for a little while you may be distressed by trials and suffer temptations, so that the genuineness of your faith may be tested, your faith which is infinitely more precious than the perishable gold which is tested and purified by fire. This proving of your faith is intended to redound to your praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, is revealed. In verse 8, without having seen him, you love him. Though you do not even now see him, you believe in him and exult and thrill with inexpressible and glorious triumphant heavenly joy. That's what we have. We have triumphant heavenly joy. And it resides in us. Because the fruit that resides in us is heavenly. It's spiritual. Glory to God. So we have within us something that we can stir up, and sometimes we need to just decide. You know, I've shared this a few times, that I was home one time and I just decided that I've gotten more into a habit of doing this, of when I don't feel like laughing at something, I'm going to start laughing at it. Why? Because I know God is for me. The greater one is in me, and it is not impossible. It may look impossible, but what is impossible for man is possible with God, to those who believe. So when something looks impossible, I can laugh at it and say, ha, 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 I'm going to have that. I'm going to do that. And you have to take that position. Brother Hagin used to say it, when he faced all the adversity, he said, sometimes you need to just start laughing at that situation. And, you know, people would look at you and say, that doesn't make any sense. Well, in the natural, faith doesn't make sense, because you have faith in something you can't see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when I believe that I'm healed, I may be walking through something, my body might be having some problems in it, but I believe God's word that the healing power of God is working inside me. And so that's what I did that time. My body was acting up, and I was home, and I just decided to laugh. I did. I don't know why, I just did. I just chose to laugh. It wasn't like the Holy Ghost saying, you need to laugh. I chose to start laughing. And it was pitiful for the first 15, 20 minutes. It was pitiful. I just went, ha, 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 because I didn't feel like laughing. And I just started to laugh like that for about 15 minutes. Ha, 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 ha. That's all I did. 15, 20 minutes. And then what started to happen was joy down here. I started sensing, you know, you feel a little stirring, you know, and I talk about a wheel within a wheel stirring. Well, that's what happened. My spirit started to wake up and became stirred. And I was like, And it caused me to start laughing a little harder. And I went, ha, 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 ha. Did that for about 15, 20 minutes. And then that stirred more. And within about 40 minutes, I was screaming at the top of my lungs, laughing in a Holy Ghost, supernatural laugh. I couldn't stop. I started to laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. But I sure was pitiful the first 5 minutes. And here's what happened. When it began to subside, the laughter, the Holy Ghost started to speak with me and give me some direction. And that, when I told you before, when he started to speak to me about my finances, that's when he spoke to me. And when I was in full laughter, when it began to subside, this is when he said this to me. If you'll work the word in the area of finances, like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. Ooh. So revelation and direction can come in those times that we just decide to worship God. I'm going to laugh at a situation, and God will begin to speak to us and give us direction. Because why? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And we're doing Joshua 1:8. We're beginning to do what? Let not this book of the law depart out of my mouth. I'm going to lift up praises. I'm going to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, give him praise right in the middle when my body didn't feel good. Oh, yes. Or it doesn't have to be that. It could be some financial stuff going on. Could be your children. Could be your marriage. Who knows? Whatever. It could be anything. You begin to lift up your voice. Count it all joy. Count it an opportunity for maximum joy. To give praise to God. Let your faith work your endurance, your patience. So just as we close, I just encourage us that these times that we're in, there's all kinds of pressures being exerted because the return of Christ is soon. And God is about ready to pour out his Spirit and is pouring out his Spirit on all flesh. But you're going to see some of the greatest moves of God. I was reading this the other day. Doesn't have anything to do with this lesson, but you can look it up online. I never knew this. You may have, but I didn't. You can look it up, just Google it. But Washington, President Washington, or former President Washington, our first president of the United States, had a vision where an angel spoke, and he had, you can look it up online, he showed him three things that would occur in this United States, and it's written. You can look it up. Just Google Washington's vision. And that angel spoke to him and showed him three things that would happen to the United States. One, he said, he showed him the Revolutionary War. Two, he said the second great occurrence was the Civil War. And he said the third great occurrence, he said, some are saying he believes that this is exactly where we are right now with some of the things that he saw. And it was documented. That's quite interesting. So there are men and women that have gone before us, and you know, they had to endure some things, but what did they do? They looked to God for direction. They called out on the Lord for help. And so I just say that the things that we're walking through now, keep your mind on things that are spiritual. And we'll just look at this scripture as we close. But Proverbs chapter 4, let's look at verses 20 through 23. Proverbs 4, 20 through 23. Familiar scripture, but one of the things that helps me is keeping your mind, keeping your heart centered on the scriptures, on the word of God. But Proverbs chapter 4 in the King James, verses 20 through 23, it says, "My son, do what? Attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health," or my margin says medicine, "to all their flesh." Then what does it say? "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." These other translations, I like some of these. This is the Good News translation. It says, verse 23, "Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts." Your life is shaped by your thoughts. So guard your heart, keep your heart, So that means when we're walking through these tumultuous times, guard your heart. Guard your heart. So that means what we got done reading in Joshua 1:8. Let not this book of the law depart out of thy mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Observe to do it. And you will make your way prosperous. And you will have good success right in the middle, right during tumultuous times. You will know what to do, what not to do. Right in the middle of it. Keep your heart. Don't let fear into your heart. Don't let fear thoughts into your thinking. This is what I'm hearing through the body of Christ, that the devil has perpetrated two things. This natural thing, they said that he has perpetrated a spirit of fear in people, which is just as bad as the virus. And people are taking hold of the fear and letting it in their heart. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't watch and do natural things, but people are embracing the fear, and that's just as bad. So this goes on, the New Living Translation. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. So if you begin to, and this is what we were talking about last week, or not last week, but the time I was last with you, is that when we talk about the spirit of faith, 2 Corinthians 4:13, we believe and therefore speak, the spirit of faith is not just principles of faith, but the spirit of faith is something that you catch or embrace. You know, when we talk about the spirit, team spirit, that's not talking about the principles that the team learned for that sport. It's a spirit that they have. It's a camaraderie. It's a goal. It's their thinking. It's their attitude. Well, just the same thing here. Above else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. You hang around people with a spirit of fear, and you keep listening to that, you will have it, because you will catch the spirit of that. But if you hang around people who are positive, you hang around people who talk the word of God, you will catch that spirit. Because think about this, words are spiritual. And that's why we always talk about guard your heart. Words are spiritual. God spoke things into existence. So we need to just guard our hearts. The New Century Version says, be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. So we just have to think about that. So as we're going through life, protect your heart, because from your heart comes direction. Your spirit is the candle of the Lord. And so he will guide you and direct you from your heart. That's why guard your heart at all cost. Guard your heart. Watch what you feed. You know, some of us don't watch what we eat. But sometimes we need to guard what we eat. Well, this is saying here, guard your heart. Guard what you put in your heart, because it'll affect everything you do. And ultimately, it says it will cause you to make maybe some bad choices and bad decisions. So sometimes, you know how businesses do. Businesses sometimes, when they do things and they don't work out, I know that the armed services do this. They have, you know, after they do sorties and they go out and they do bombing runs and so forth, they come back and they do what? They debrief. How'd that work? What do we have to tweak and change? So the same thing. If something's not working in your life, go back and look. What have I been saying? What have I been thinking? Make the correction. That's all that means. We've all missed it in some places. I remember one time I did something, I said something for years, and I wasn't even aware I was saying it. And I got the fruit of it. And the Holy Ghost one day said, "You've been saying that for years." Ooh, boy, did I correct it. So sometimes we may be saying something and not even realizing it, and we end up eating the fruit thereof. Proverbs 18. Death and life's in the power of the tongue. So guard your heart and let joy come up in the midst of trials and troubles. Didn't say feel like count it all joy, but it says we're to do that, count it all joy, when we're surrounded and pressed about with stuff. Don't let the adversity cause you to whine. Just raise your voice in joy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you today for your word. Thank you for reminding us that in the midst of adversity, we can overcome. And we overcome through faith, and we can count it all joy, and we can let our faith work endurance in our lives. And we thank you, Father, for protecting us and guarding us with your power. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. You know, the more you think about these things, keep them in your heart, keep them in your mind, rehearse them. Talk about them. Talk about them with your children. You know, when your children are faced with stuff that they're facing, or your grandchildren, tell them about the promises of God. You can get through. You can. You know, when you see young children today becoming successful, what do you find most times? When you people have these, you know, young children on talk shows, and they say, "Well, what did you do?" Most times, what do you hear? They had a parent or a grandparent or somebody that influenced them and said, "You can do it. You can do anything you put your mind to." And what do? They do. So we need to learn and say, look, when we're around people that are talking negative, I mean, don't be the speech police, but just encourage them. Say, look, we can get through this. We can get over it. Be a comfort. Amen. Praise God.